Well, good evening. It is, it's up there. Okay, good. It's really a blessing to be with you tonight, and I just want to start. I'll bring you greetings from the saints in Reidsville, and also just from our family. It is always just a pleasure and a blessing for Susan and I. Anytime we have an opportunity to come over and visit with you, we have a lot of friends here. And I want to take the opportunity just to thank so many of you that have really prayed for me in particular over the past 8 years that I've spent in the state legislature. I remember it seems like not that long ago that we were up at Mountaintop Youth Camp just a couple of days after the first election when I was elected to the legislature, and there were so many prayers there on my behalf just for godly wisdom to use in the legislature. I've always looked at that as a ministry. And it has been for the past 8 years. But I've also been praying that at the proper time, the Lord would bring the right person to take my place there. I didn't feel like that I would be there for a lifetime career, that the Lord had other things for me to do. And I'm going to talk with you a little bit tonight about the next ministry, the next step here that the Lord has given me an opportunity to participate in right there at the Capitol. Let me just back up a little bit by saying that during my 8 years at the legislature, I've had the opportunity to participate in ministries there. You know, contrary to what you may often hear, there are some fine brothers and sisters that serve in government. I can tell you that I've met some of the wonderful believers in the Lord that are serving right now in the General Assembly, in the legislature, in the three branches of government. And serving the staff there. And I like to let people know that out across the state when I have the opportunity to speak with my friends and in churches. We're called on to pray, and we're going to talk about praying for our leaders. But just know that you have leaders that are praying for you too. And we have an opportunity and have had opportunity, partly because of the Capitol Commission ministry, to really take part in a lot of ministry during my tenure at the legislature. And it has been a real blessing for me that for the past 8 years, I've been able to take part in the Capitol Commission ministry as a legislator. And now, effective the January 1st, I will be leading the Capitol Commission ministry in North Carolina as our new state chaplain. I was about this time last year when I was making the decision that I would not run for another term this year. I was speaking with our current state chaplain, who is now the national president for Capitol Commission, and that was when he told me that he was becoming the national president and that they were going to need a new state chaplain, right about the time I was telling him that the Lord had led me not to run for office again. And so a lot of prayer and a lot of discussion there, and by the grace of God, they offered me and asked me to serve as the next state chaplain. So I just continue to ask for your prayers. And I want to tell you a little bit about the ministry that goes on at the Capitol through Capitol Commission. You see, that is kind of the official logo, Reaching Capitol Communities for Christ. And we'll talk a little bit in a minute about what that means. I'm sure many of you are familiar with 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. And that is tied in with the mission of the Capitol Commission. If you go to the website for Capitol Commission, and I hope you will, if you have the opportunity, you will see this on there. And we even have shirts and logos that even mention 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. So I just want us to read that together for a moment and just be reminded of some things that are brought forward to us here in the Scripture. First of all, therefore, I urge that humble requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of everyone, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, as we know, Scripture actually commands us to pray for all of those who are in authority. And what do we pray for them? I think one of the most important things that we can pray is that they will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We want for people that are in decision-making government, people that are in authority, to be those that would be believers, who would be saved, who would have knowledge of the truth, who would make decisions based on godly wisdom and godly truth. So when we pray for our leaders, that's what we should pray for them, that they would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and knowledge of the truth, that they would be saved, that they would be able to govern in such a way that would be honoring to the Lord, govern according to godly values. And so the mission of the Capital Commission is to reach the Capital Community for Christ. The Capital Commission is actually a nationwide organization when the state chaplains are under the umbrella of the Capital Commission. The state chaplain in North Carolina is not under the, does not work for the government, is not paid for with taxpayer dollars, is under the umbrella of the Capital Commission. One thing you continue to pray for this ministry is for it to continue to grow. Right now, about half the states in the country have a state chaplain, and we are adding at least two and maybe three more this year in new states, but we're continuing to try to expand. We would like to see a state chaplain under Capital Commission in every state in the country because there's a lot of good work that goes on, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But we want to reach the Capital Community for Christ. So who is the Capital Community? Well, of course, they're the legislators. There's the House of Representatives and the Senate. That's 170 people right there. So we have the legislators, legislative assistants. Each legislature has an assistant. The senators actually have larger districts. They have a second assistant as well. So you can add in another 200 and some odd folks that serve as legislative assistants. Then you have the General Assembly staff. There are a lot of people there that work at the General Assembly in some capacity. There are bill writers. There are sergeants at arms. There are researchers. There are all kinds of staff people, everything from the janitorial crew, you know, to the people who actually sit down and write the laws that legislators pass. And so there are literally hundreds of people who make up the General Assembly staff. There are lobbyists, all kinds of organizations that hire lobbyists to be there, and they pretty much hang out at the Capitol, and they're coming to see their legislators all the time to lobby for some particular group or action. So they're there, and there's several of them. Well, you have the executive branch. You have the governor and his staff and the people who work in that office. You have all of the folks that are elected to the Council of State, everything from the state treasurer to the secretary of state and the commissioner of agriculture and all the people that work for them. Well, they're around there too. So that represents quite a number of people as well. Then you have the judicial branch, the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, all the folks that work for them. The Capital Commission has literally an opportunity to reach well over 1,000 people right there in the Capital Community, pretty much everyone who interacts with the North Carolina General Assembly. So it is a mission field. The state chaplain is a missionary. And when we have a state chaplain in the Capitol, they have the opportunity to interact and have avenues of ministry with a lot of different people and a lot of different groups. So what are some of the avenues of ministry? Well, we have Bible studies. We have a legislator's Bible study that meets every week. The state chaplain will do other Bible studies with members of the staff there. So there are Bible studies that are going on every week. Some of the people that don't necessarily come to the Bible study, they still get a written Bible study. Every single legislator, every single legislative assistant, the chaplain, we'll go around every week and have basically the written outline for the Bible study. So even if they're not participating, they're still getting it. And we'll talk about this later, but you know, if I have your email and you want to be on the email newsletter list, you can kind of keep up with us and keep up with our Bible studies and all. You can actually receive that because it's in digital form as well. So it goes out digitally. It goes out at the General Assembly on paper as well. So we've got weekly Bible studies going on with different groups. Prayer breakfasts. There's generally a monthly prayer breakfast, And this is something that maybe reaches a little bit broader audience than the Bible study does directly. We've got, you know, core group that will go to the Bible studies, but there's a larger group that will come to the monthly prayer breakfast. And, of course, they get a meal, but they also hear a speaker. And there's always a good speaker. The gospel does go forth. And so they get the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ at the prayer breakfast. Other special events. The Capitol Commission will coordinate, for instance, the National Day of Prayer, which is the first Thursday in every May. There's always a service going on right there on the General Assembly grounds, generally at noon on that day. And so that's one example. An Election Eve prayer walk is something else that that the Capitol Commission will oversee. Sometimes they have things. I know this year they did something called Books and Bagels, where he would have books out there. You know, when you're walking into the General Assembly building there, he'd have paperback books that people could get, obviously a Bible for anybody that might want one. They'd give out bagels and things like that. You know, food does kind of help attract people to anything as well. So legislators are no different there. You know, you can always offer them food and they will come, right? So, but all kinds of special events, different things going on, opportunities there for ministry as well. And then just one-on-one meetings in small groups. The General Assembly is not in session right now, but I have actually been there the last three Wednesdays, and there is one particular group that is just a small group of men that he's having a Bible study with, and they're going through a book together, and he's having small groups there. There are one-on-one meetings going on, opportunities. The thing of it is that you have the opportunity, and I think one good thing in my position is that since I have been there for 8 years, I've had the opportunity to make relationships with a lot of the people there, certainly the legislators, the people that have been on staff for a while, and having the opportunity, there's access there for that state chaplain to actually go into the office or maybe sit down and have a breakfast with them and share the gospel with them. And I know personally legislators and definitely staff, but even legislators that have accepted Christ because of meeting with the state chaplain and just being witnessed to in that way. And others I've just seen grow. They may have been professing believers. They probably were believers, but definitely folks that I have seen grow in their walk with the Lord during their time because of this ministry. And I'll tell you another, it is a great encouragement. You know, I've heard so many legislators, and myself included, you know, you go down there and you don't know exactly what to expect. I'm like you. I mean, we generally hear the worst about government, and you go down there and you know it's going to be a rat race. You know, you expect for most of the people that you meet to be scoundrels because that's all you ever hear that they are. But the truth of the matter is it is very encouraging for legislators who are believers to go down there and recognize that there's actually ministry going on at the General Assembly and that they have that to be a part of. Just that fellowship that goes on through it, the opportunity to build close relationships with other believers, to study the Bible together, to have spiritual conversations together. You can't really measure that. They're weekly chapel services. We actually have a chapel room that's right there on the second floor in the legislative building, right between the big gold doors that go into the Senate chambers and the big gold doors that go into the House chambers. So they did have the foresight when they built the legislative building back in 1963 to build a chapel there. And I will say that during the tenure that I've been there, we have seen chapel services really increase, and there have been more participation, and we've even heard that from the staff that was there, that has really been a welcome blessing. I've had the opportunity during my legislative career, I've also been the House chairman of the Legislative Prayer Caucus. And myself and the Senate chairman have had the opportunity to really take a leadership role in these chapel services. And that's something I'll be able to continue to do as a state chaplain with Capitol Commission. So I'm really excited about that. Typical chapel service, it's a busy place, as you can well imagine. But we do have legislators that carve that time out of their day to be there. certainly staff members that are there. But we pretty much run on time. We start right at 12:30. We sing a hymn. We have almost always we actually have a member of the legislature that will give the devotion. Sometimes we'll have a guest to come in, but most of the time, actually, the House members and the Senate members will rotate. 1 week we hear from a senator, and 1 week we hear from a representative. But we get a devotion every week, and we close with prayer, and then we're out of there for the 1 o'clock meeting. So, the weekly chapel services are something that a lot of people really look forward to. And then just regular office visits, and as I said earlier, literature distributions. There again, the state chaplain really has an access to the legislators that a lot of people probably don't have, at least to just walk in the door and to be able to share the gospel, because they've built that relationship. The Capitol Commission is a recognized ministry there. People know who that is, and they gain comfort by knowing that person. They're comfortable with them. So rather than somebody just going in off the streets and saying, well, here's some literature, you know, or coming in and say, well, you know, can I pray with you and all that, the state chaplain really has an opportunity to do that. Regular office visits with the legislators and the staff and just distributing literature. And then just a chaplain presence at the General Assembly. That is so important. When they go to the offices, to be able to pray with the staff, to pray with the legislators, can ask prayer requests. You know, people oftentimes aren't used to that, and people really will open up to you when you go into the office and say, well, is there something that I can pray for you for? And, does the state chaplain ever get any pushback? Of course, there are going to be people that are not necessarily receptive to that, but by and large, most of the people there are at least receptive to coming in, and you know, if you ask them, you can pray for them, they will do that. Occasionally somebody will refuse literature or something like that, but most of them will take it. And so it's powerful, I think, to have the presence of a chaplain at the General Assembly. Again, I think it's hard to just measure that, to know that there is a chaplain there. Obviously, if somebody has someone that they want to talk to, have prayer requests or just problems going on in their life and all, they know that chaplain is there. So it is really a good ministry just to have that presence there at the General Assembly. So how can you be a part? You're not there on a daily basis, but there are certainly a lot of things that you can do. Obviously, prayer. It is a unique ministry. Just the fact that, we are told before we want to pray for our elected leaders, and we certainly want to pray that they come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And I do think when we look at the 50 state capitals in our country, the influence that is at those capitals, it's a lot. And, you know, they are each a mission field. I can tell you that, you know, obviously Greensboro, Reidsville, everywhere we are is a mission field. But the governmental complex there in Raleigh is certainly a mission field. There are people from all walks of life coming in, all backgrounds. A lot of people that truly don't know the Lord, that don't have that background. And it is a very unique ministry. So we do just ask for your prayers. Part of what we're doing tonight, you know, just spreading the awareness. I have found during my tenure in the legislature, when I speak, whether I'm at home in Reidsville or have the opportunity to speak at different churches about the ministry that goes on there, but I hope that this is encouraging to you. I think that believers are encouraged to know that there is actually a ministry going on in the Capitol, that there are good things that you don't hear about on an everyday basis, but that the gospel is going forward, and there actually are Christians there, and there are people there who are being saved, and there are people there who are growing in their walk, and there are people there who are actually praying for you. And so we want to spread awareness. We want for individuals and churches, and one of the reasons I'm thankful for the opportunity to come and share with y'all, we want for you to know. Go out and tell your friends, tell your other folks here. We want other churches to know. this is going on. This is something that you can pray for. This is something that when you're praying for your leaders, you can support this ministry. I mentioned the Bible study email newsletter list. If you really want to be a kind of a part of what's going on and you want to keep up with us, you can certainly get the regular email and see what we're doing with our Bible study and see some of the same studies that the legislators and others are doing. It is a ministry. As I said, it is supported by churches, by individuals, by businesses. No tax dollars or anything like that. So we're thankful for any financial support. There's sponsorship opportunities for businesses. We actually do a golf tournament once a year, and a lot of businesses will sponsor that, and that gives them an opportunity to just be a part. And just encouragement. You know, I can't tell you, so many of you have been so encouraging to me during my tenure in the legislature. You know, when you're an elected official, I'll guarantee you, you hear a lot of folks, you hear a lot from the public. Most of it does not come under the category of godly encouragement. I can tell you that. But it's a great blessing. And I know because many of you have told me, and many of you have told me how much you pray for me, you pray for us. You've encouraged us, and you know we appreciate that. And I can speak on behalf of so many of my Christian friends at the General Assembly that talk about how important that encouragement is to them, because, like I say, most of what they receive is not very encouraging, but that is very much appreciated. I didn't want to go very long. I actually wanted to leave a little bit of time if we had a few minutes for any questions that you might have. Or any comments or anything like that, I'd be happy to answer any question about anything we've covered or anything maybe I failed to cover. Yes, sir, Tico.
I have a question. What's the Muslim presence in the state legislature?
I haven't seen a big Muslim presence there. I'm not saying that they're not there. I know that there are other state governments, and in Congress there's a little bit more probably of a Muslim presence. I haven't seen very much of a Muslim presence, honestly, at the General Assembly. I know that I know that there are a couple of staffers that are Muslim. One of the legislative assistants in particular I know is Muslim. I'm not personally aware of any of the elected officials that are. I think one is a Buddhist. One of the senators, I believe, is a Buddhist. We certainly have some that would be atheist, agnostic. We have several who would who are clearly not believers, but I'm not aware of a Muslim that's in elected office. But so haven't seen a lot. Yeah, Steve. This is actually a state ministry, so it's really the state cap. That now they have chaplains in Washington. But this is state to state. So it's the 50 state capitals that they're targeting. Last year, I believe, we had 23 state chaps. So it's about half, and next year it will be 25 or 26. We just added Alabama, Arizona, and I think maybe Michigan. So, but they're spread out pretty much around the country. And I will tell you this. I already am on, we have monthly, conference calls with all the state chaplains around the country. Susan and I are going to a meeting, a national meeting, and I'll actually get to meet all these folks face-to-face here about the 1st of October. But you hear a lot of stories about things that are going on across the country. Some are extremely encouraging of what they're doing with the ministry. Some are pretty discouraging about some of the things that are going on, But anyway, there are state chaplains across the country, but it is just the states. Yep. Yeah.
What is hindering the other 24, 25 states that you're not in? Why are you not in those?
I think they continue to look for active chaplains. Obviously, there's the financial component of supporting. You're a missionary. You're raising funds. You're raising your support. So you've got to have someone who has the ability, who has the desire, who buys into And it's got to have some support. You know, if the General Assembly doesn't support it, it doesn't happen. And so some states may be a bit more supportive than others. So I think, it's continuing to grow. The Capitol Commission actually used to be a part of a larger ministry, and it became a ministry of its own about 10 years ago. And our state chaplain, actually the national headquarters is in Raleigh. So like our North Carolina chaplain, he's now the state, but he's still in Raleigh. He's now the national president. So now I look for it to continue to pick up, but it's always a challenge in the culture we live in. Some of the chaplains have faced major opposition. There is a chaplain actually in California, and I mean the call that I was on was he really has faced some opposition. So we all face it. I mean, but some places I think it's just more difficult than others. But, yes, ma'am. It is a non-denominational ministry, I will say that. But there is a statement of faith that we would all feel very comfortable with that the state chaplain has to adhere to. So they are all men. They will get ladies like Susan is actually going to assist me. Most of them would like to have a woman assisting them because there are women at the General Assembly. There are women legislators and staff and everything, and they're probably going to feel more comfortable on both sides if there's a woman involved. But all of the state ministers are men. They do all subscribe to a very biblical statement of faith that we would all be very supportive of. So I don't personally know every single minister out there, but I do know the leadership, and they are very biblically sound. I mean, part of the blessing of it's not a government entity. It's a private organization that's supported by, and it is an evangelical church type organization. So they can be very selective. I mean, they don't have to take just anybody. And so they don't want to be affiliated with the government. They're not looking for government funds or anything like that. They just want to be allowed to operate because of what you're saying. They don't want to be forced to say, hey, we got to hire anybody out there. They've got to conform to our statement of faith, which is very sound. So if that answers your question, I hope. They might. When you go on there and you see the map of where they are, like you might not think that California would be one that had them, but they do. There are some states that you might think probably would have them that probably. I was surprised that Alabama didn't already have one before this year, and I don't know if they've had one in the past, and maybe that person just had to leave and they hadn't been able to replace them. So I don't know all the details there. Most of the states in the South do have them. I couldn't tell you every state that does and doesn't without looking at the map. I've learned a lot of them because I've been on these conference calls and I've gotten to know at least the name of the person and the state that they represent and that type thing. And I have known just by listening to their testimonies that I think they're all pretty sound. I know the former president who is now like the president emeritus, he is extremely sound. The one who is now the chaplain in North Carolina who's becoming the national president, he is. So, and they have a board of directors, and so it's pretty tightly organized. I think that there's not really the opportunity for it to go rogue or something, if you will. It seems like that all of the ones I've come in contact with are very sound. But like I said, they definitely have to adhere to a biblically conservative statement of faith. They definitely teach, biblical inerrancy. certainly the deity of Christ, the virgin birth, the resurrection, all of the things that we would all consider to be foundational to the faith are absolutely foundational to this ministry. So that's a good question. Yeah, thank you. Yes, sir. No, actually, in the House, we members do. We've gotten a little bit of pushback on that, but at one time, they had a chaplain that did that. The Senate, more recently than the House. But what the House has decided to do is to actually have members. So I've had the opportunity many times to open the House in prayer. And so they feel like that we're actually on better constitutional grounds, if you will, if the members themselves. And that way we're not opening ourselves up to say, well, you're inviting all these Christian ministers to come in and give the prayers, but you're not having the Buddhist monks and you're not having the Muslim, you know, and all this. So by actually having us to give the prayers, they can't get us on that. So that has actually worked out pretty well. But that's a good question too. But, yeah. Any other questions? Yes, sir?
As far as the financing of that, it's by faith. So are you people be giving to you or to the commission for you or just to the commission? How does that operate?
So it would go to the Capital Commission, North Carolina. And it would go for the ministry, which would include paying me something, but yes, each state. Now you can give, a person could give to the national ministry because there is the national oversight, administration, and that type thing. But then people can give, if they wanted to give to Capital Commission Virginia and go towards that ministry, they could do that. So each of us that are chaplains, you know, we are like missionaries raising the support for the ministry in our state, and that would cover anything that we do. All of these projects that we put on, you know, when we have these breakfasts and serve food and give away books and any administrative help that we get, anything like that is going to cover. And I think each state will also do something to help to support the national ministry, the leadership. So I hope that answers your question. It's capitalcom.org. Okay, it comes up Capital Commission. So it's capital, and that's with an O-L, not an A-L. Capitalcom.org. Yeah. Well, again, thank you all so much for having me. It's just always, as I said, a blessing to be with you. You're wonderful folks. We love you, and we love being here with you. And just continue to ask for your prayers and your support. I will finish out my term in the legislature, which will end December the 31st. I'll be commissioned as the chaplain, and I will begin work as the chaplain on January the 1st. So we can't have a sitting representative being the chaplain at the same time. But so that will be a transition, and it's one I really do look forward to. I'm very excited about it. I've had several folks at the in Raleigh tell me that they, and I think so too. I think the Lord just really opened up that opportunity for me. So I'm really excited about it.